Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Turn on the Jets podcast.
With the third pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC.
What should the Jets expect from you?
A lot of wins.
And now, here's your host, Joe Caparoso.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Joe Caparoso, owner of TurnOnTheJets.com. In today's episode, we are joined by Corey Griffin, longtime friend of the pod. We're going to talk about our expectations for the New York Jets heading into the regular season. A few other thoughts on Sam Darnold and overall on the roster. Before we jump into that, I'm going to give some thoughts on the final 53-man as it's currently set when I'm recording this. And also remind you guys that this podcast is brought to you by both Willie McBride's in Hoboken, New Jersey on 6th and Grand. We have another watch party upcoming on September 30th for Jets Jaguars. Already have a big chunk of people who've RSVP'd, so we appreciate that. Come out, watch the game. Watch us record our post-game podcast on September 30th at Willie McBride's on 6th and Grand in Hoboken. Our podcast is also brought to you by RazerSport, RazerSport.com. Regular season is here. Before you put any action in, make sure to join the members section at RazerSport.com for all the must-read gambling advice this football season. RazerSport.com. All right, before I jump into my discussion with Corey, Jets 53-man roster as it stands now is locked. I'm recording this 10 a.m. Monday morning. They do have a couple workouts scheduled for later today. Dan Bailey, who would be a nice upgraded kicker pending his health. They're also looking at Breshad Perriman, which I'm not overly excited about. I don't really see where he fits into the current receiver depth chart, but a former first-rounder, so something to monitor there. They also have a couple workouts at the edge position, which is not overly surprising considering their current depth chart. As it stands now, only three inside linebackers on the roster, only three outside linebackers. Neville Hewitt, the only backup. Brandon Copeland, the only backup on the outside. One thing to remember here is that inside linebacker Kevin Pierre-Louis will be back on the active roster after week one. So somebody else will go at a different position as the Jets will carry four inside linebackers unless they swapped them for Hewitt, which I think would be somewhat surprising. Areas to watch for in that, they're currently carrying four tight ends. Seems to be a little bit of overkill. Also carrying four halfbacks with both Trenton Cannon and Eli McGuire on the roster. Eli McGuire is a potential candidate to watch for short-term IR, depending on how his rehab's going. Leggett is also a guy who could maybe get moved to IR as he did get hurt in the end of the last preseason game, but the Jets clearly want to keep his rights in some capacity. Also at cornerback, they have seven right now. Kind of hard to argue the value in carrying seven corners. Not really sure what Justin Burris did to merit a roster spot right now. Also worth remembering that Rashad Robinson will be back after four games, and the Jets are likely to keep him around. So when he comes back, somebody at that position is likely to get knocked off. They're also currently carrying five safeties, which really isn't surprising because with how their defense is constructed, I would really look for Jamal Adams and even a little bit of Terrence Brooks and potentially J.J. Wilcox to spend a lot of time down in the box, is basically playing like a linebacker. So, you know, my guess, and I tweeted this out, the Jets' internal logic is that they could go light at linebacker because Adams is going to spend so much time in the box playing basically like a linebacker, and the Jets will have a three-safety look with a guy like Brooks or Middleton on the back end paired with Marcus May. Still concerning because the Jets are going to be a little light up front. They already have some issues at inside linebacker, and, you know, I think when you take a step back and look at this roster, there's some things to be excited about, of course, particularly Sam Darnold and some of the skill positions, namely the depth at receiver. I also like the group of running backs, but overall, there's some major holes here. There's some questions on the offensive line, particularly when it comes to depth, and the linebacker group is, honestly, until proven otherwise, among the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. That being said, the Jets' first part of the schedule, on paper at least, is their softer part of the schedule, as they're going to open up with three straight teams who did not make the playoffs last year before playing Jacksonville and then getting back into playing teams like Denver and Indianapolis. So I'll have my final predictions out for this season, but I do think later today or tomorrow, but I do think the early part of the schedule could be friendly to a fairly fast start for this team if their defense could hold up the end of their end of the bargain. I actually think this could be the type of year where their offense is actually better than their defense. I think there's more concerns right now on that side of the ball than there is on the offense. So as it stands now, I think the Jets will make a couple more minor roster moves, maybe move a couple people around to either IR, the practice squad, maybe sign one or two players to flip out those bottom four or five spots. But really, the guys who are going to be active game day, you know, the 45 they'll have up, we know who that is pretty much. That's pretty much set in stone. You know you're going to have Powell and Crowell at running back, likely Lawrence Thomas at fullback. You'll have the four main receivers, although Jermaine Kearse may miss week one, which would mean more playing time for Terrell Pryor, along with Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa. Probably also means more chances for Neil Sterling in the passing game, as he's really a glorified receiver at tight end. We know the starting offensive line. We have a good feel for the starting defensive line and who's going to be in that rotation, with Nathan Shepard and Henry Anderson rotating opposite of Leonard Williams, and Mike Pinnell rotating in with Steve McClendon. At linebacker, it's going to be Darren Lee, Avery Williamson, and Jordan Jenkins. If the Jets do go to having two outside linebackers out there, Josh Martin would be the next guy up. And then at corner, when they're in their base nickel, you have Morris Claiborne, Tremaine Johnson, and Buster Skrine with May and Adams. If they go to a three safety look, it'll be interesting to see if they go to Brooks or Middleton first. Their top backups at corner right now, probably Derek Jones and Darrell Roberts, as the roster is currently constructed, but we'll see how that plays out. We'll have another episode later this week, likely running on Thursday or Friday, which will be more focused on previewing week one against Detroit, where the Jets are currently 6.5-point underdogs to start the season. And we are now joined by this week's guest, longtime friend of the pod, at least his third or fourth or fifth time maybe even on it, Corey Griffin. Corey, thank you for joining us. How are you doing this Labor Day weekend?
I'm doing just fine, and as always, I am grateful and appreciative that you continue to have me on despite my many mistakes and misgivings.
Listen, we're a forgiving bunch over here at Turn on the Jets. We're just, you know, we're looking to the forward. We're looking in the future, not the past. Let's talk about the Jets. Preseason over, thank God, after an insufferable game against the Eagles that was very challenging even for the biggest football fans among us to watch. Now that preseason is in the books, away from Sam Darnold, did you see anything in those four games that changed your overall expectations or perception around this team heading into the regular season?
It might be boring, but no. But I think that's because I've been conditioned, at least as what is my term as a writer, but also as a long-term Jets fan, to try to look into things even in preseason realistically and not get too up or too down. You know, there are moments and there are things, you know, that certainly popped. You know, some of the depth in the secondary looks exciting. But the holes that were there entering the preseason and entering training camp remain. I'm not as freaked about offensive line simply because there were some injuries, although obviously, you know, if those injuries reoccur, remain, they're in deep trouble. But, you know, the pass rush is the pass rush. Enunwa was hurt, so it's for most of the preseason in training camp, so it's hard to evaluate him. And then, you know, Anderson had some struggles, but I think he will overall be fine. And then, you know, I think overall they're probably looking at a 4-6 win season, maybe a high of 7 if Darnold really delivers or, you know, certain players surprise. But I think this is, you know, this is still a team in the middle of a rebuild without a lot of high level talent or a lot of high level depth.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the general sentiment. There was nothing, you know, away from Darnold that was overly shocking. I mean, we still have some concerns about the offensive line. We still have some concerns about this defense. I think there's always sort of this backed-in assumption that the Jets are going to have a pretty good defense, even though they really haven't for a while. And I do think there's a lot of holes in that unit still. Unfortunately, that being said, the AFC is kind of crap, and the first 10 weeks of the schedule look friendly enough on paper. I'm kind of getting the vibe that this feels like the kind of year where they start like 4-4 or 5-4 or 5-5, and everyone gets very excited before a very tough stretch run kind of sets in the reality, and maybe they settle in a little under 500. I don't think it's out of the question to think they could be like Buffalo was last year and sneak in as like a very average six seed because the AFC is so bad. But 7-9 kind of feels about right to me. If they're in that 7-9 or even like 6-10 range, is that enough to have Todd Bowles and most of this coaching staff back?
Are you asking me as me, or are you asking me as Mike Maccagnan?
You as well. I don't even know if Mike Maccagnan has final say in that decision. I guess you as Mike Maccagnan and Chris Johnson as it stands right now.
I think probably not. I think Todd Bowles, I think the writing is probably on the wall that if you're investing in a young quarterback, given today's NFL trends, you're probably investing in a quarterback friendly coach. And I don't think Todd Bowles is that. He hasn't done anything. You know, like I don't think he's been a disaster in the general sense. I'm plenty difficult and plenty hard on him overall. I do not think he is one of the worst coaches in franchise history. I just think he's nothing special. And I think he is kind of whatever pieces you give him. And I don't think that he's shown enough to elevate the roster that he has. So if he's a 6-10, 7-9 season, you know, I think even 8-8, I think there's probably enough runway after what, 5 years of not his entire career not making the playoffs, to move on.
Yeah, there's actually an interesting article that came out today from our friend Dom Cosentino at Deadspin, a very long, winded interview with Pepper Johnson, and I think we have to take some of this with a grain of salt, knowing that really throughout the interview, Johnson seems to blame all of his issues on everybody but himself, and also he's been fired recently by the Jets, so he certainly has an axe to grind, but definitely some concerning things in there about how the Jets go about running their defense and a lack of communication, and also some interesting things on Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams. So I definitely recommend Jet fans give that a read. And I think Bowles, like, I don't know. Like, I agree. I think he's been okay to below average, probably like a C-ish. I think he's been about as good as Maccagnan, but now Maccagnan has went and got Darnold and handled this quarterback situation pretty damn well, so he has that. Whereas Bowles needs to show some type of improvement. I mean, you look, special teams have been a mess. They've been cycling through coordinators. Defensive coordinator is Casey Rogers, and this kind of feels like an old school Rex Ryan situation where Todd Bowles basically hired his buddy and he's keeping him having his job because it's his buddy. And I don't know what Casey Rogers has done to distinguish himself with the Jets over the past few years. It feels like this unit has been generally disappointing. So I think how that decision is made is ultimately going to, you know, depend on, can Bowles improve his game management at all, which has really not been good, and can his defense make some strides? And when we talk about this defense making strides, I feel like it kind of comes down to three main players, I guess: Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams, and Darren Lee, and what kind of strides they're going to take this year. Where do you stand on what those three guys are as NFL players? Because it's a very sensitive subject among Jet fans, and any type of criticism, at least of the first two, is taken very harshly.
I think all the criticism is fair. I'm just, you know, like, I think specifically of Leo and Darren Lee, you know, like you said it, I think multiple people have said it. If you're a top six pick and you know, you're expected to beat double teams, you just are. Like, you're not expected to make an entire defense a top five defense on your own, but you are expected to beat double teams. And the thing of, well, he doesn't have two other first round picks around him, so what do you want him to do? And it's just excuses. Like, at some point, if you're one of the best defensive players, or supposed to be one of the best young defensive players in the draft class, you're supposed to make a difference. Aaron Donald is an interior rusher, and he routinely beats double teams. And now he's the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. So position doesn't really matter if you're a difference maker. And I'm not saying Leo has to be Aaron Donald to be special, but like, he's got to be better than he has been. And I don't think it's fair. Like, well, he doesn't have an edge rush. Aaron Donald doesn't really have an edge rush either. So I think that argument doesn't really hold water for me. Darren Lee, I think he's playing the long running joke. And obviously the long running joke about Ben Simmons is that he shoots with the wrong hand. I think Darren Lee plays the wrong position. I think he's an off-ball linebacker in a 4-3 defense. I think he's undersized for the position that he's in. I think his coverage ability is lacking. I think he's probably best, you know, situationally rushing the passer and kind of playing that role. But then again, he's not exactly a great edge rusher either. So he's kind of this weird in-between linebacker that doesn't have a ton of strengths in any particular area, but more so just kind of is okay in a bunch of different ones. And for a first round pick, that's not ideal. And you know, my big problem with Maccagnan, overall is, you know, outside of his mid rounds, which have not been good, you know, his first round picks have been middling at best, you know, at maybe above average. Jamal Adams had a solid rookie year, but my larger problem is he's addressing positions that are not premium positions. This year was the first year where he addressed a premium position. He's not addressing edge rusher. He hasn't addressed offensive line. He took 4 years to really address quarterback. He's kind of piecemealed it at wide receiver and running back. Cornerback has been a free agent thing and not necessarily a drafting. So, I mean, at some point you have to address some people who rush the passer, protect the passer, and pick the passer off or get passes or receive from the passer, you know, like, and he hasn't really done that in the premium rounds. And that's a concern for me.
Yeah. I think it's a very fair criticism. And I think with Lee, like, somebody had tweeted this today, but he was kind of drafted when he was first taken. Everyone thought he was going to be this sort of linebacker, safety, switchblade hybrid who moves all over the place. And the Jets basically just plopped him in an inside linebacker, like a David Harris replacement. And it just,
It
just doesn't work. And then the ironic thing is that the year after, they drafted basically a better version of that in Jamal Adams, who really is kind of more of like a safety linebacker hybrid, although he could bounce a little bit to slot corner. But he's like the better switchblade version of what you were hoping to get with Darren Lee. And, you know, we got to see, you know, with Lee, I'm not sold he's anything but a, you know, barely average starter at best. With Adams, I think I'm curious to see how the new rules and how the game's officiated potentially impacts him, but I do think he is athletic enough to be a consistently above-average starter. I just don't know if he's going to be the generational player that some people build him to be before the draft. Could be. I hope I'm wrong, but might just plateau as kind of an above-average starter, which is fine. I mean, you need above-average starters to, you know, be a good defense. Let's, you know, we've went through our regular sort of pragmatism or pessimism, however you want to frame it. Let's gush a little bit about Sam Darnold. How excited are you from what you saw about Sam Darnold? Because I, despite only being 31, am fairly jaded and don't overreact and get overly excited about things. I'm pretty damn excited about Sam Darnold. I think they got one here. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, well, we could all be wrong, right? Like, we could all be wrong. We'll find out in 3 years. But no, I don't think you're wrong. It's the little things he does, and it's the little things that guys like Dan Orlovsky and company are calling out in little videos, right? And you as well. Seeing two defenders in one zone, right? Or in one, like, vision, like one area of the field. Recognizing when to hit your third read versus your first read, not just dumping it off, moving within the pocket, knowing when to throw it away, making checks at the line. Like, he's just an extremely advanced quarterback, which is a really weird thing to say for someone whose main criticism was that he's fairly raw and he's the youngest quarterback or starting quarterback in NFL history. He's a very talented, very special player. And, you know, this is without really getting into those fourth quarter situations that you saw at USC where, you know, he would drive the team down, you know, commit a two stupid turnovers to ruin or to put them in a bad position, but then take them on this miracle run at the end to completely change the game, right? And make these ridiculous, like, jump passes or move and dodge four guys at once and all that. So I think he's a really, really special talent. I think he's going to be a tremendous Jet for a long time, and I think he's probably going to save Mike Maccagnan's job.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it comes down to being, you know, that simple. Like, if Darnold is really good, then everything else is going to kind of fall by the wayside. And you got to hope that just going forward, Maccagnan is smart with the available Jets money and smart with the available Jets draft picks to build around him appropriately. I mean, in terms of a rookie season with Darnold, I don't know, in terms of statistically, what are sort of reasonable baseline expectations? I'm trying to come up with the numbers in my head before I put down my final predictions for the season. I feel like he's a guy that probably settle somewhere in between like 22 and 24 touchdowns, maybe with 12 to 13 interceptions, and somewhere in the mid 3,000s for yards. Now, that might be a little ambitious. I'm not sure, but I just feel like this offense might be okay if they stay healthy on the offensive line, because I do like the skill positions more than most. What kind of stat line are you roughly looking for from him this year?
I think we're probably looking at between 3,500 to 4,000 yards. You know, it depends on how much they run the ball. If the run blocking is a disaster and Darnold, you know, has to just get the ball out and dump a ball off a ton, then I think that'll amplify some rushing totals. I am more pessimistic than you are in terms of touchdown to interception totals, and that's just because of his history, specifically last year at USC, and also because rookies make dumb mistakes. Like, they just do. He'll learn from them because I think he's a smart and advanced quarterback, but he's going to make mistakes. So I think it'll probably be closer to a one-to-one ratio in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. I don't think it'll be necessarily exact, but let's put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if the ratio was reversed the other way, and I wouldn't necessarily react negatively, because it's all about how he learns from it and how he advances from it. So I think you're probably looking at like a 62 to 64% completion percentage, probably about 3,700 yards, and, you know, maybe like 25 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, or maybe reversed, maybe 22 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, something like that. He's a guy who's going to take chances, and, you know, given the way the playmakers are, he's going to throw deep a ton to guys like Anderson and Pryor and hopefully Anunua. That's going to lead to mistakes, and that's okay. Those will be growing points, but I think it'll be an overall exciting year. Maybe the numbers don't tell the whole story.
All right, final two questions before we let you go. Away from Darnold in the quarterback position, who do you think is going to be the best offensive player and defensive player for this team this year? I think offense is a little more of an interesting discussion, whether a guy like Crowell ends up being better than expected and more involved in the passing game, which he seemed to be in the preseason, whether it just defaults to being Bilal Powell or Robbie Anderson, who were probably the two best guys last year, or does Quincy Enunwa come back and kind of take over as the lead receiver defensively? Kind of feels like it has to be Leonard Williams or Jamal Adams, or else something is wrong. But is there anybody else that we're forgetting?
No, defense, no. I mean, unless we're going to get a season from Darren Lee that makes him the second coming of Ryan Shazier, or you know, the new version of Tyrann Mathieu, like, I would be surprised if it's anyone other than Leo or Adams, and that's just where the defense is at this point. You know, there's no really avoiding it. That's the talent they have. You know, it's possible that it could be Tremaine Johnson, but it probably will be one of those two young guys. On offense, I'm going to say the name that you already said that you've been pushing all season. It's Quincy Enunwa, and, you know, that might be my biased take, but the guy is a physical monster. He is the guy that came out of Nebraska with all the physical tools that you wanted in terms of the size, the strength, the speed, the agility. And he has spent the last few years learning the route running, working on his hands, perfecting his craft. And you've seen him basically attack a different weakness every single year, every single offseason. Like last year, or 2 years ago, it was high pointing the ball. You know, you saw him being able to attack the ball at the catch point. And I think that he's really, you know, the neck injury really let us down, and, or, you know, obviously let him down and kind of hindered his development. But assuming he's healthy, I think he's going to be an absolute nightmare for defenses, especially with a guy like Darnold who can hit him underneath and put the ball in positions where he can run after the catch.
All right, Corey Griffin, as always, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend, and I'm sure we're going to tap you at some point in a few weeks, whether it's for this podcast, one of Scott's 17 podcasts, or one of the other podcasts we're doing across our network.
I would be happy to be on any Turn on the Jets podcast. I appreciate the time, Joe. Have a great weekend yourself.
All right. Thanks, Corey.